Praise the Lord. Welcome. Welcome to the Living Savior Church today. Praise the Lord. Good to have each one of you here. As usual, we're going to read some praise reports. This is the only church I've ever seen that had praise reports every Sunday. Wow. Do we serve an awesome Jesus here?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Wow. He is an awesome God. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, thank you, Father.
He definitely answers prayer. He is a mighty God, and I'm so grateful that we get to come to church where we can have these wonderful praise reports. Because Cheryl's got several of them today.
I do.
Praise the Lord.
The first one says, Pastor Scribner, thank you for all the VCRs and CDs sent over the past 10 years. Your teaching of healing was just what I needed. I passed these wonderful teachings to church, family, and friends, and many, many have been healed. May God bless you always until He comes again, Judy.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Will the Word of God heal you?
Yes.
Yes, it will. The Word of God will heal you. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you so much for sending all those CDs so my brother in rehab can listen to God's word. You are really helping people see the truth, and God will bless you big time. I thank God for giving you so much wisdom and teaching the power for the believers, which most churches mess up. Love, Joan.
Praise the Lord. Okay. Yeah, amen.
All right, this one's interesting, and I think these people, I think they're from Pakistan. This is one of the email things. They first started out with a prayer request for Jamil Adam Arenas, 33 year old. We sent my brother Jamil Adam at 4 a.m. last Wednesday, July 25th, to the hospital of Makati Pimbo. He was vomiting blood. He got into a coma, so he got intubated, but became normal after minutes. I know our prayers work. At 6 a.m., the diagnosis was TB, pulmonary, pneumonia, possible ulcers because of blood coming out of his stomach. Could be the blood he was vomiting earlier that he might have swallowed. As of this moment, he's been given twice antibiotics and would get fever, which would be a good indication he's able to fight the infection. All vital signs okay, but the tube for oxygen still on him. We're thinking of transferring him to a lung center, but he has to have a stable vital signs without apparatus help. Please continue to pray for my brother, healing, and for all our fears, doubts, unbeliefs, in Jesus' name. So we wrote them back and said, have Jamil and Adam repent for not loving himself and having fear. God commands that we love ourselves. It's a sin if we do not love ourselves. Tell Jamil to repent and promise God that he will love himself from this day forward. He's a son of the King of the universe. He is royalty. He is a king priest. He's fearfully and wonderfully made, and he loves himself. God says to fear not 365 times in the Bible. God is in control. We've prayed and it's done. So we gave him that tuberculosis is a spirit of fear, pneumonia is a spirit of fear, anxiety, insecurity, fear of abandonment, self-bitterness, self-rejection, self-hatred, guilt, ulcers, fear again, lack of trust in God, self-others, extreme self-rejection, hopelessness, despair, and having peace regarding issues. Okay, the praise report is no more TB. Almost, and this is in, I think, Pakistan. I think. I'd have to look up those two words, Makati Pimbo. I don't know where that is. Anyway, no more TB, almost impossible as per the doctors. As symptoms were seen the first days we were at the hospital, but from the latest, most sensitive lab test, it showed clear. So now we're praying now for Jamil Adams' whole new, restored new lungs in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Wow. All the way around the world to Pakistan. God, he's everywhere, isn't he?
I think it's Pakistan. Somebody can look it up. All right. You can look it up for me
everywhere.
And see the word.
Wow.
Here on the very bottom, the last thing right there.
Wow,
okay.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, sorry. Here you go. There you go. All right. The next one was, this is pretty funny. This guy in December 23rd of last year, he writes and says, Pastor, can you please pray for the healing of my tonsillitis? Thank you very much. And I ask again for you to pray for my wife, Helen, who had a stroke nearly 2 years ago. Thank you much. Anyway, we don't hear anything from him. We wrote him and said, we prayed for both of you. It's done. Walk in love with everybody. Tonsillitis is what you're saying or thinking. Strokes are caused from unforgiveness. The symptoms on the right side, it affects the left side of the brain, the unforgiveness against a woman. Symptoms on the left side of the body, it affects the right side of the brain, it's unforgiveness against the man. So we wrote all that to him. He says, hi, Pastor. Now, this has been since December 23rd. He writes back in August and says, "Hi, Pastor Thurman and Cheryl. It's been a while that I didn't give my praise report regarding the tonsillitis I had last year. Praise the Lord that I'm healed and learned my lesson to control my tongue, my thoughts, and to walk in love. And thank you very much." Yeah, sometimes it's hard for us to learn.
Oh,
okay, this one, let's see. "I just found out you had surgery. I'm so sorry. I've learned a great deal from you, mostly trying to prove you were wrong. Every time I look for verses to prove you wrong, I find just the opposite. Please forgive me if this is not my place, but I wanted to ask you about the verses that say, 'Speak evil of no man and honor all men.' I'm bringing them up because I had to repent of speaking evil against President Obama instead of praying for him like the Bible tells me to. God bless you,
Emily." Praise the Lord. Wow.
It's hard to prove you wrong if you go to the Bible.
Amen.
I don't know. Okay, this is the girl that she had a stroke. She couldn't play guitar anymore. And then Jenny prayed for her. And then she went and worshipped at some fairgrounds. And now she lost her car. And she's talking about, you know, you don't wait till catastrophe hits your life to find Jesus. You know, you seek his face and seek him today. And she said, "Well, in a couple of weeks since I got grounded without a vehicle, the Lord has intensified and directed my prayer life. It's been awesome. I'm enjoying serving him and whatever he calls me to do, write a letter, call a friend, visit a neighbor, sing a song, play the guitar, think about heaven, bless him, casting all my cares upon him, trusting him all the while, learning to lean moment by moment, worry-free. It's a wonderful life. Now, ministry will start to pick up again with arrival of a replacement vehicle. Thanks to my wonderful pastor and a fellow churchgoer who had a spare vehicle on his hand. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, brother, in Jesus' mighty name." So she got her a car after prayer. Philippines? Okay. All right. Well, still, that's a long way. It started with a P. Okay. This one's kind of a lengthy one because it started a while back. This woman is in India. I know where she is. Okay, she first wrote and said, "I'd like to request for healing for my skin condition. I suffer from psoriasis, feel trapped in my own body. I believe in God, his miracles. Keep praying, asking for healing, freedom from this condition. Please help me. Please pray for me. We'll be so thrilled to be able to get back my health. I write from India with lots of hope. Gloria." Well, we wrote her and told her psoriasis is spirits of self-bitterness, self-rejection, self-hatred, self-pity, guilt, lack of self-esteem, conflict with identity, fear of abandonment. All right. And we told her, "Repent, promise God that you will love yourself from this day forward. God commands you love yourself. It's a sin. If you don't love yourself, you're a daughter of the King of the Universe, you're a princess, you're a royalty, you're fearfully, wonderfully made, and you love yourself." So here's some links to listen to, and we sent her a bunch of links because she's over in India. She said, "Dear sir, I listened to the recording. There's a lot that I would need to change in my life. I've never put God first. Now that I'm very sick, I run behind him so that he could heal me. Now I'm thinking about all the times I felt anger, frustration, or jealousy, and it was the devil that operated in me. But now that I want to change and see all the pain and ugliness the devil's inflicted on my skin, I feel sadness that I let it happen. I just want God to forgive me, make me whole again, give me a chance to fix my mistakes. Please pray for my skin so that the bruises, scaling, red patches would heal in Jesus' name and I could have the strength to fight the devil." When did this start? This started August 1st, so you have an idea. Okay. All right. So we're in agreement with your prayer request for complete healing, as he is a merciful God. And she says, "Please keep me in your prayers. I'll continue to update on the condition." Okay. We tell her we prayed. It's done. All right. Then she wrote, "I got up today, went to the mirror, said to myself that I love myself, repented for my unlove. I was watching your teaching on YouTube as I was getting my daughter's lunch ready to pack for school. It had never happened that the vessel I was cooking in was set on fire. I was terrified. I yelled for my husband because they live on the third floor, have nowhere to set the fire off. Somehow my husband managed to pour water, extinguish the flame. I was shaken, but by God's grace, no one was hurt. The devil's trying to scare me because I've not ever read the Bible. And now thanks to your videos, I have started reading the Word. I love Jesus, and I never really took the time to talk to him when he always looked after me and my family. Amen. Thank you for your teachings." Okay. "Yesterday, I heard I heard a lot of your teaching throughout the day. By evening, depression set in again when I looked at my skin. My father came to see me. He was very sad seeing me upset. He said, "Morning, when I saw you, you looked so hopeful, filled with faith. Now you look like you're giving up." I did not speak much. He put his hand on my head and said, "Don't give up," and left. I was still watching your video. Then suddenly you said, James 1:2-8. You said, "Keep reading it loudly till faith comes into you." I started reading it, and by the end of the last line, God showed me he was listening to me, and I slept with faith in my heart. That night, I saw him in my dream, only his hand pointing out from the dark sky. When I looked what he was pointing at, it was my Bible. I woke up. I was hot as if I had fever. I left the room, came out the hall, lied down on the floor with the Bible, and fell asleep. And today, this morning, I started my day listening to your video on faith, Hebrews 11. So we prayed and told her to keep up the good work, and you're healed. We're almost to the end. Okay, yesterday I took the Bible up for the first time to pray for my daughter, who is 12. She had, okay, now this is August 8th, so 1 week has passed. Yesterday I took the Bible up for the first time to pray for my daughter, who's 12. She had a bad cold, leaking nose, so I asked her to confess her sin, known and unknown. Then I prayed over her from Matthew 18, verse of agreement, and she felt better, and she managed to study throughout the day without feeling tired, and I did not even give her any kind of medication. Praise the Lord. But I ended up making a mistake myself, and I will, as pushed by a circumstance, to commit a sin of lying to someone, and my hands are itching from them. I ask for forgiveness for the lie and for the gossiping. I'm truly sorry for what I did. Now I'm praying for forgiveness and healing of my skin. Thank you for your teaching. Okay, you repent. So we wrote back, you repent, quote 1 John 1:9, God forgives and cleanses you from all unrighteousness. We pray for your healing. It's done. Okay. She said, I confess my sin, and I read the promise on 1 John 1:9, and I continue praising, thanking God for my healing, but my itching redness is so much that I feel so uncomfortable, and I'm putting ice packs on my hands. Please pray for me. I continue to confess my sin again and again, and I ask for forgiveness from God. I feel like I've been attacked. I've even forgiven the person who started the trouble by making me sin. That wasn't really what she should have done, was blame somebody. So anyway, but she's going to learn all this. My mother-in-law is not a believer, and whenever she speaks, it's always gossip, and she's a very bitter person. I love her and give her all the respect an elderly person should be given, but still she makes me sin, and I feel like the devil's inside her because I'm a good person. I never hurt anyone. I love everyone. I take care that I don't upset people, but when she talks to me, she makes me a different person. Please help me. We said we prayed for you and your mother-in-law, and it's done. And then she said, I'm learning about the Bible thanks to your teachings. Thank you so much. Then she wrote, I'm scared. I don't know what to do. I feel lost. My hands are itching so bad. I've confessed so many times. Please pray for me. I'm so sorry to bother you, but I don't know where to go for help. And this morning I woke up. Okay. So then she said, this morning I woke up with no pain, no itching, no burning. I feel so free. Thank you for your guidance. Praise the Lord and for all your help. And I will continue to walk with God and study His Word. So now we're turning the corner. Thank you, Lord. And then she writes, yesterday, early this morning, at 3:14 this morning, she wrote, Dear Mr. Thurman, since I started recovering, there's been many, many healings in my house. It's become a need for me to read the Bible and be clean in the eyes of the Lord. It's not easy because all this, while I never once controlled my temper, pride, or my tongue from telling a lie, even if it was to make someone happy, now I know people pleasing is not important. It's important to be good in God's eyes. Thank you for everything. You help me understand it's not impossible to walk with God and make every day a miracle. Lots of love. Hopefully I can do for some lost soul what you did for me. Love, Gloria.
Amen. Praise. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Wow. Isn't it amazing? I've been asked this question a lot of times. Because, you know, it's real common if you're a pastor or going to conferences or whatever, that if you're there and you meet a few people, they'll ask you this question. Who do you study under? Whose books do you read? Guess whose I read? I read the Word of God. I don't read anybody's other information. I was just telling a gentleman earlier today that I probably have, I have a whole wall in the office full of books. And I don't read any of them. I don't read them. Because they will fill you up with unbelief. I don't read nobody's books except the Word of God. So like I've told from the pulpit a few times here, if you have a book you want to give me, we'll keep it. I don't want it. I will not read it. So if you give me a book, and I've had people say, but Thurman, this is the best book. I know you don't read other people's books, but this one will change your life forever.
No.
I said, I already got one that changed my life forever.
Amen.
The Word of God. I'm serious. I learned things in the Bible that people will tell you is not true, and those things don't work. One of those things that I've learned is Proverbs 26:2. When I first read that, I asked many people why people are sick. I said, why are we sick? Nobody could give me an answer. It's just we live in a fallen world. And that's just the way it is. You're going to be sick. I said, you know, I just can't buy that. When I read the Word of God, Proverbs 26:2 makes me an awesome statement. Now, I want Cheryl to read what Proverbs 26:2 says, and I want you to see if you can understand it. I don't care what translation, King James, NLT, whatever.
This is the NLT. Like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse will not land on its intended victim.
A curse. First of all, what is a curse? What does the Bible talk about when it talks about curses? In fact, I want us to go back and read what a curse is. I want us to go to Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, for about 10 verses I want Cheryl to read, and I want you to see what a curse is. Most people do not have any idea what a curse is. But in Proverbs 26:2, it says that no curse can come upon you causeless or without a cause. But anyway, to see what a curse is, I want her to read Deuteronomy 28, verses 15 through, 10 verses. Let's just see what it says.
But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day,
Hold it. What is he saying? If you don't obey me. In other words, if you as a person, have you ever told one of your children, don't do that or I'm going to bust your bottom?
Yes, sir.
But Daddy, I know you would never hurt me. I know you would never bust my bottom. I know you're just telling me that to make me kind of wonder. But I know you would never do that. But if you are a man or a woman and you're raising children, and you tell your children that you're going to spank them if they don't obey you, and then when the time comes, well, they will test you.
Yes, sir.
I guarantee they will test you. And so when that time comes, and if you don't follow through, you have just proved yourself to be a liar.
Yes, sir.
And the child knows exactly where they are now. Daddy doesn't mean what he says. He's a liar. Well, let me tell you, when this book says what it says, he's not a liar. The liar is not there, guarantee. So again, thank you. He's telling you, you must obey him. And if you don't obey him, then all these curses are going to come upon you. Okay, continue to read there.
Okay, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field. Cursed shall thou be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep.
What is the fruit of your body?
Children.
Your children. If you disobey God, he's going to afflict your children. I mean, people say, no. I have had more people come to me and say, Thurman, you have lost your mind. God would never discipline a child to discipline the parents. But he will. I mean, he says right there that if you do not obey him, he will curse your children. And I want you to look at some of the curses as we continue on the curses. Read on there, Cheryl.
And the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do.
One more time. Hold it just a second. The devil is going to put this upon you.
No, the Lord.
Now, wait a minute. You know God, a good God, would never discipline you. Will he?
Yes, he will.
Then why is it that so few people believe him? Why, if we really thought, if we knew what these curses were, and we really believed that these things would do what they said, then why, about our children, then why in the world do we go out and have sex before we get married, and sometimes even get pregnant and bring a child into the world, when God says that act of disobedience will be cursed? So why in the world do people do it? They don't believe. And then when he does do it and disciplines your children and you see unruly kids, they still don't believe that God is the one that's doing this. They come and want you to produce a miracle to heal them. Keep reading.
The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke.
The who?
The Lord.
The Lord is going to discipline you by sending all this stuff upon you and your children. Read on a little more.
The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me.
So you wonder why different people got different problems. You wonder why their world falling apart. You wonder why their car breaking down all the time. You wonder why they can go out and even save enough money to buy a brand new car. It's got a 36,000 mile warranty and you drive it 37,000 miles and the transmission blows up and costs you $5,000 to fix it. It couldn't be a curse. But it is a curse.
It is a curse.
Then you take the next guy and he does everything right. He obeys God. He goes to church. He teaches his children about God. He reads the Word of God to his children and his family every night. Prays over them. He walks in love. He believes what the book says, does what he says, and his children are all blessed. There's never no sickness and disease, and everything goes wonderful at his house. He buys a car, a used car that's already got 37,000 miles on it, and the warranty's out, and he drives it 200,000 miles and never has a minute's trouble with it.
Praise the Lord.
What does that tell you? The curses and blessings are really there, aren't they?
They are.
The guy that's obedient, the man that is doing what God told him to do, his life, his washing machine that his wife uses to wash them clothes for all them kids will just last five times as long as a regular one. It's amazing what happens when God sends the curses. You read this. Read on a little further.
The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee.
The who?
The pestilence.
I mean, the who? No. The Lord?
The Lord.
The Lord. I mean, this good, loving God that we talk about, he would never discipline me. I hear that all the time.
I hate bugs.
Read on.
The Lord shall, especially when they get on me, the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. See, he could really run me off.
Yeah. Well, read on a little further.
Okay. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption and with a fever and with an inflammation and with an extreme burning and with the sword and with blasting and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish.
Okay, just, I mean, so far we're going to stop right there because I can't stand it no more. The curse is, it just, I mean, that's devastating to think about what he's going to do to you if you do not obey him. And that's so amazing. So when I read this in the Bible, and I used to read these kind of stories, I'd read these and I'd meditate on those, and then I'd say, you know, Lord, I've heard, I was raised up in a Baptist church, and I was told that you're a good God, and that you would never, ever put any kind of hurt on me. You love me beyond my wildest dreams. So I don't understand all this. So I go to my pastor. I said, what does God mean here when he says he'll do these things? And they said, well, you know, God would never put sickness on you. You got to know that sickness never comes from God. I said, but this don't compute. I said, this awesome God that we're serving here, he's the one writing this book, and he's the one saying if we don't obey him, he's going to bust our can every way he can, from upside to downside. He's going to hurt you. He's going to hurt your children. He's going to kill your children. Does he say that?
Yeah, he does.
I mean, he's going to destroy your children. He's going to destroy you. If you don't obey him and put things in order and do what he says, guaranteed this thing is going to, like I say, it gets so bad that I can't even talk about it no more. I don't want to be tormented. Do you, Franz?
No.
No, I don't want it. So if those are the curses, and he says so clear that if we do not obey him, if we do not serve him, if we do not put him first, that he will bring all these curses upon us. Now, this is all stuff that was under the law. We're not supposed to be under law today. We're supposed to be under grace.
Yes.
But most Christians that I know are not under grace, because just like I said before, grace only lasts for 24 hours. Actually, 12 hours. Grace only lasts for 12 hours. When I say that, he says, do not, under the new covenant, do not go to bed angry.
That's right.
Did he say that? Everybody's read that somewhere? Do not go to bed angry? So why do we do it? I mean, I bet you that I could, if I were to really pin you down, I couldn't find, in here somewhere today, I could find at least a half a dozen of y'all that got mad at somebody on the way to church today. Either a driver that was trying to run over you, or somebody else, or your backseat driver, or whatever. In fact, I'm going to tell you a little story right here. Cheryl and I went down to East Texas to preach. And this pastor, Assembly of God pastor, and his wife picked us up. She could barely talk. I mean, just whisper. We got in the car. We drove driving down to the hotel where we were going to stay. And every once in a while, he'd come to a certain turnoff, and she'd lean up over there and whisper in his ear something. And he'd kind of, you know, tell her, I'm okay. And finally, the time we got to the hotel, I said, does she do you like this all the time? He said, all the time. I said, so she tells you how to drive. I said, have you been to this hotel before? He said, Thurman, I've lived down here. I know where I'm going. I said, but she tries to help you. He said, yes, she definitely tries to help me. I said, does it irritate you? He said, it makes me so mad, I can't hardly stand it. He said, I said, and so let me kind of see if I can paraphrase this. You put up with it until you get to your boiling point, and then you tell her to read her the riot acts. He said, man, you're reading my mail. Said, that's exactly what I do. He said, I get so tired of her telling me how to drive, I just wish she'd just sit back and close her mouth and keep her mouth shut. Yeah, and that's what I said. I told him, I said, well, I said, so your wife has had some surgeries, huh? I think, wasn't it three? She'd had two or three.
And they were raising so many thousands.
Yeah, and he said, we're putting out an offering for the other Assembly of God churches. We need $5,000 for my wife to get her vocal cords fixed.
No, to have them taken out.
Oh, yeah, they were going to have them taken out because they were bothering her so much. And so anyway, I told him, I said, well, let me tell y'all something. When we get to the hotel, I want us to go inside and I want us to sit down and talk. And I said, ma'am, why do you tell your husband how to drive? And of course, she's trying to whisper ever so slowly. Well, I just feel like he needs help. I said, but you don't go with him everywhere he goes every day, do you? And she said, no. I said, well, does he get to work and back without you every day? She said, well, yes, he does. I said, then do you think he actually needs your help? I said, if he needed your help or you were going somewhere he'd never been before, he could ask and you could give him information. But I said, you're giving him information and he's not asking for it. And I said, men don't like that. Most of them don't. So anyway, I told him, I said, do you know what you've done in this sin of driving your husband? You've caused your husband to sin by bursting out, and he's telling you what he doesn't want you to do. And then when you all retaliate with your loud voices, I said, that's why God is taking your voice away one little peg at a time. I said, and now then you're fixing to get your vocal cords removed so you can't talk at all. So I said, God's going to shut you up. He's going to take your voice. They said, she said, God would never do that. I said, oh, yes, he will.
And
I said, you know, you have put a curse upon you. You put a curse upon your family. And I said, you know, yes, God will curse you. And I said, he told you to submit to your husband in all things. He said he made you for your husband, not the other way around. And people, I mean, so many churches, the pastor, they won't touch that man-woman deal with a 10-foot pole. Because they know they're going to get in trouble. But let me tell you what, that's why so many women are in trouble. This woman was fixing to have her vocal cords taken out because she would not submit to her husband. God had told her to submit to her husband. She wouldn't do it, so she's going to have her vocal cords removed, so she's going to be shut up and not be able to talk at all.
But he also cursed her with what he said.
Yes, and he did. He did that. Yeah, with the sharp cutting words that he cut back at his wife, he was actually putting a curse upon her.
He said it was her mouth that
Yeah. Her mouth's the one who caused the problem. So anyway, there's a lot of times people could just get in good shape if they would just shut up.
Amen.
Do you know that?
Yes.
The word says study to learn how to be quiet.
Yes.
And we don't do a very good job teaching on that either very often. But anyway, I told that girl, I said, if you will repent and tell God you're sorry that you've been driving your husband, that you won't give him help anymore unless he asks for it. I said, if he asks, then give him information only what he asked for and don't volunteer a whole lot of extra stuff, just what he asked for. And so she said, okay, I know I'm wrong, because she can barely whisper. She said, I know I'm wrong. She said, I will repent. And she did all that and asked the husband. Told him, I said, I want you to repent, you know, for fussing at your wife, you know, cutting her down and all that stuff. So we got to get, you know, Cheryl and I was going down to this place to preach. And here's the senior pastor and his wife that we're dealing with on the way to the hotel.
Wow.
So anyway, and somebody said, well, where did you learn all that stuff? Where do you think I learned all that stuff? I didn't learn it reading John Doe's book. I'll guarantee that. I read it from the teachings of the Holy Ghost. That Holy Ghost that Mike was talking about there a while ago. He clearly says you don't need nobody to teach you after you get saved. The Holy Ghost will be your teacher. He will teach you. All you got to do is listen to him. And so that's where I learned it. And so anyway, that night, they took us to get a bite to eat. Then we went up to the church. When we got to the church, his wife had been a singer. And she just barely can whisper.
She led worship.
Yeah, she was a worship leader at one time. So anyway, we get up there to the church. And whenever the pastor introduces me, Cheryl says, she's going to have a song before we, or a couple of songs. They wanted Cheryl to sing. So Cheryl got up there and told his wife, said, come up here with me. She first didn't want to do it because she could just barely whisper. I told her, I said, you know, you have been forgiven now. You got to start doing something. You're washed in the blood. So she goes up there and stands beside Cheryl, and they sing the first song. By the time they get to the end of that first song, about three different levels of it, that girl, you can hear her over the mic pretty good. They sing one more song, and that time at the end, that girl hit the high notes, and the whole church just stood up and gave God a standing ovation. everybody in that church knew they had saw God perform a miracle. This girl could hardly talk. I mean, when she got up there with Cheryl, you couldn't understand nothing she said. She just barely did talk. But let me tell you, whenever that was over, that teaching was over, and that woman sang that last song with Cheryl, I mean, her voice went right up there with Cheryl's. Both of them was hitting the high notes. Everybody knew that there's no way that woman could do that without the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now then, when God tells you to do something, people don't realize that God's in control. When he says to obey me, what does he mean?
Obey.
What is it we find so difficult about obeying God? You know, so then we wonder why all these things, just like all these curses that we just read about. And that's just a few of those in Deuteronomy 28. There's a whole bunch more. And in every one of those, in fact, I want Cheryl just to kind of hit the high places, and I want her to read down through here, and I want you to pay attention as you look at it on the board as she reads through there. How many of those things are on there because of the devil, and how many of them is on there because of God? I want you just to look at those as she reads those. Read those, honey.
Next one. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the hemorrhoids, and with the scab, and with the itch whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday as a blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee.
Is that enough? Verse 47. I want you to read this one last verse.
Verse 47.
Verse 47, and I want you to see what verse 47 says.
Because thou servest not the Lord.
Listen to that. Read that over slowly.
Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things.
Now, wait a minute. My kids are fussing because I got to go to church next Sunday. Dad, do we have to go to church? Does that sound like you're serving the Lord with joyfulness?
No.
You see where I'm coming from? People say, no, Thurman, that's not what he means. Well, if this smart, intelligent God I serve don't mean what he says, then pray tell, what does he mean?
Yeah.
Is that what you say? I mean, you can't just put in the good stuff. He takes care of everything, the good stuff and the bad stuff. He's God. He's in charge of what's going on. But read that one more time. The whole verse, 47.
Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things.
Okay, stop just a second. You know, when you go to leave here today, when you walk out that door, you ought to be holding your hands up and say, Lord, I thank you and praise you that it rained this week.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you that we had the good rain. Lord, we've been praying for that rain for 4 or 5 weeks. We finally got it. Lord, we thank you and praise you for the rain. We thank you that you're God. We thank you that we're your children. We thank you that we come to church today. We're thankful, Lord, that we can stand out here and talk around to people, and we can go do good things for you. And Lord, we just want you to know how much we love you. We praise you. We worship you and we thank you. He says, now then you're beginning to get a hold of what I mean when I say to worship me for the abundance of all things. That's what I mean.
We live in a country we can go to church.
Yeah, we do. We live in a country where we can go to church.
Thank you, Lord.
Because we do not do that. Now, one more time, I want you to... People, now here's one of them stories for this. somebody will get my teaching and they'll come up on this and they'll hear me talk about this and they'll say, that's crazy. Thurman, he's lost his mind. It can't be. Like Kevin back there. He said the first time he started hearing and listening to me, he said, no. The Word of God don't say that, Thurman. You're wrong. So he said, I get the Bible out and I start reading all this stuff and said, lo and behold, the Bible said what you said.
Amen.
Now then, we're in trouble, right, Kevin? What do I do now, Lord, if what I've been taught by my pastors and everything ain't what the Word of God says? Well, let's go back and read that one more time, huh?
Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things.
Do you
want
to tell them what happened?
Because
if they don't.
In just a minute, we are.
Okay.
I mean, just think. I mean, I want this to soak in on you. I want you to realize the God that we serve, which is the same in the Old Covenant and the New Testament and the Advanced Testament, everything, He is the same every day. He never changes. He is God yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
And when He says, I like for you to worship Me and praise You, what does He like?
Praise
He likes for you to worship Him and praise Him, that's for sure. Now then, read that one more time. And this time, read the whole thing.
Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Next verse.
Keep reading. Yeah.
Therefore shall thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And He shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until He have destroyed thee.
It sounds like a pretty mean God. Do you know that? If we really thought He would do this, somebody said, but that's all under the Old Covenant. He would never do that to us under the New Covenant. God would never do that. I said, okay, if you don't believe He'll do something, let me ask you this question. Is John chapter 15 in the New Covenant?
Yeah, it is.
It's in the New Testament. Well, let's go back to John 15:2, and let's look and see what God does to people. Now, you're going to find a reason why many people are sick right here, and find why many of them are sick and die early. Not necessarily early, they just die. John 15:2. Every branch, read that.
Every branch in Me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away.
Okay, now hold it. If every branch that beareth no fruit, who are the branches?
We are.
That's us. That's right. We are the branches. We're supposed to bear fruit. What does it mean to bear fruit? What are you supposed to do?
Yeah, talk about the Lord. Spread the good news.
Just like Bill was telling us the other day, he goes out and distributes these cards all the time. These 91 cards.
Yep.
And he goes out and he talks to people about Jesus whenever he does all this. So he's producing fruit for the kingdom, is he not?
Yes, yes, he is.
So he's busy.
Yes, he is.
Okay. So what if he was not busy? What if he says, well, I'm getting older and I don't want to do that. So I believe I'm going to quit. I just ain't going to work no more. I'm going to quit taking Psalm 91 cards. I'm going to quit doing the Gideon thing. Yeah, he goes out and takes Bibles out to the kids and schools and hotels and all kinds of stuff. So he's producing fruit.
Yes.
Do you know people that come to church that don't ever produce any fruit at all?
Yes,
I mean, they grumble and complain because they have to come. Oh, my God, it's Sunday again. Oh, Lord, it's Sunday. Do I have to go to church? He said, no, you don't have to go. I'm not going to force you to do anything. You can stay at home if you want to. But if you stay at home and do nothing, and you're a child of God and produce no fruit, what does John 15:2 say He'll do? What does it say?
Every branch of Me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit.
Okay, so if you're a Christian, if you don't do anything or if you work, either way it makes no difference. You're going to get cut. You're going to get cut. He's going to cut you. If you produce, He's going to cut. Just like all them flowers out there when you come in the front. Cheryl or Kelly One spends lots of time out there trimming them flowers up. If it was up to me, there would be no flowers. I ain't got time to mess with it, but let me tell you what, if you don't prune those flowers, if you don't cut them back, it's not long till there ain't no flowers. That's why those flowers stay so pretty, because it takes some work. Somebody's out there trimming the flowers to make them be beautiful, so you'll have flowers if you like to look at them. And I will have to say, I like to look at them once in a while. I go by there and I look and say, those sure pretty. But somebody put some effort in that to keep them like that, didn't it, Scott?
Absolutely.
You know about those kind of things. It really takes something to make that happen. But just think, what the Lord says He will do in His Word on these John 15:2, He clearly says what He will do. And I have asked many a pastor in my life, do you think that John 15:2 means what it says? And as a rule, you know what they all tell me?
No,
I don't mean that. No, but it says, every branch, now do you believe we're the branches?
Yes.
Yes,
I do.
Every branch in me, in Christ, He's talking about us. If we bear no fruit for the kingdom, He says He's going to cut you off. But that's not what He means. Well, then pray tell, if God is not smart enough to know what He meant, why don't we get a new God? I mean, I believe He knows what He's talking about, don't you?
Yes, He does.
I believe He means what He says.
Amen.
So if you believe He means what He says, and you're reading somebody else's book, John Doe's book, and just like the other day, somebody gave me a whole series of CDs and DVDs, begged me, please listen to these. Okay, so I took them in my office a week or two later. I put one of them in and I listened to about 15 minutes of it, took it out and put another one in, and listened to about 15 minutes of it, took it out and put it up, put it down there. Dave come in. He said, oh, those people gave me a copy of that tape too. He said, what'd you think? I said, I was able to stand about 15 minutes. He said, I made it about 10. But he said, he don't agree with what we teach, does he? I said, absolutely not. Now, you see why I don't listen to other people? I believe, Mary, that the God that I serve, if He says I don't need anybody to teach me except the Holy Spirit, then that's all I need. You agree with me? In other words, if the Holy Ghost, you don't need nobody to teach you, the Holy Ghost will be your teacher. That should be good enough, shouldn't it, Tony? And I believe, so that's why I do what I do. I only go by what the Holy Spirit says. And if you go by what the Holy Spirit does, you will always be right. I guarantee you, you'll never be wrong. And I've had lots of people in my life ask me that question, how come you think you're the only one that knows anything? I said, because I get all my information from the Lord. And is He ever wrong?
No.
No. That's just like the people, like Kevin and that woman Cheryl read about. All those people, when they started listening to my teachings, they heard something they had never heard before. And so they went to the Word and said, this guy's got to be crazy. Well, when they got in there, they found out this crazy guy that's talking, saying the same thing that the Bible's saying. So now you have a problem. So what are you going to do? Who are you going to obey? What do you do, Kevin, in a deal like that? What do you do?
Believe it.
Believe the Word? Okay, so Kevin says believe the Word. Don't go by what you hear, smell, feel, or nothing else. Go by what it is written says. And whenever people tell me, and I have this all the time, and I have a problem with some of my best friends that are pastors. And some of them are well-known pastors with good educations, and they're really good, they're really smart, they know a lot of good stuff. But when I come down to the point of when we talk about sickness, that sickness and sin are directly related. And if you got a sickness, you got a sin. I've had them just tell me, Thurman, I can't go there with you. I just can't go there. In fact, one of the very good pastors down at Gateway, he said the other day, he said, some of my stuff is very hard to follow. He said, I've never seen anybody that understands the Bible like you understand it. How else do you understand? I don't understand. I mean, just like when it comes to healing. This pastor down in the College Station, a Catholic man, he called me one day. He wanted to know if I'd come down to College Station and teach in his church, a Catholic church. And I said, well, I will, but I says, what caused you to call me? He said, I know a lady by the name of Judy Prince. And said she was supposed to die with breast cancer. And said I was told that she only had a few weeks left to live. So he said 6 months or so has gone by and I've never heard from her. So I called her the other day and see what happened. And when I called, she answered the phone and she sounds so good. I said, Judy, this is so-and-so. And she said, oh, praise God. He said, you're okay? And she said, oh, yeah, I'm healed. She said, you're healed? I thought you were supposed to die. She said, that's when I listened to the world. She said, then I met this Baptist deacon from Justin, Texas. See, I wasn't even a pastor back in those days. I was just a Baptist deacon. And she wanted to know, one of the girls in my Sunday school class, wanted to know if her and her husband buy me a ticket, would I go down there and lay hands on this woman and pray for her and get her healed in Jesus' name. Because she said, we've sat in your Sunday school class, we hear you talk about this stuff all the time, and we never believe it. So she said, I want you to go to Corpus and pray over my friend. I said, okay. So I went down there and prayed over, told her the truth, and I'll never forget that, her husband, as I'm teaching them the principles of the kingdom, I saw her husband fall out of the chair on the floor on his knees, hold his hands up, and he said, God, I am a Christian. I've been in your word. I forget what he was, 55, 60 years old. He said, I have never heard the Bible preached like this man preaches the word of God. I was preaching it at face value, just exactly what it says. But he said, what he's saying is true, and it's in the Bible. Now then, when you find out that all you got to do is repent of sin and pray the prayer of faith for somebody with breast cancer, you can get them healed. So I said, that's what we did. I got her to confess her sin. We prayed the prayer of faith for her, and I said, God healed her. He said, well, would you come down at my church? I'd like for you to teach a class on healing in my church. I said, sure, I'll come down there. So I drove down to College Station, and when I got down there, I went in and talked to him. And we taught several hours. And then after we taught several hours, he said, well, I want you to pray for these people. Several of them got breast cancer. I said, okay. So when we did all that, got through praying, I prayed a prayer of faith. And when I got through, he said, wait a minute. That scripture you're using, in fact, we're going to read that scripture. It's in James chapter 5. Verse 14, 15, and 16. I want Cheryl to read James 5, 14, 15, and 16 to start out with here. And listen to what this says. Now, just think, if this was the only healing verse we had, this is all we need. But we don't believe this. Amen. Most churches don't believe this. But I want Cheryl to read it just like it's written in God's Word. James 5, 14, 15, and 16.
14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him.
What is it? Do you like the way that sounds?
Yes, sir.
Under the new covenant, if I get somebody to pray, if I get somebody to confess their sin, and we pray the prayer of faith for them, Does God promise in this scripture to heal you?
Yes.
So then why do we say, if it be your will? That's what that Catholic man said when I prayed the first prayer of faith for one of those people. And I prayed, now you're healed. It's a done deal. Guarantee it. All you got to do is believe. He said, now I know why we never get anybody healed. I said, what do you mean now you know why we never get anybody healed? We always add to it, if it be your will. See, God says when you pray, you got to believe with no doubt in your heart.
Right.
If you have doubt in your heart, he says, you're double-minded and unstable in all your ways, and let not that man think he'll get anything from the Lord.
Amen.
So if you go around being all wishy-washy, when God says, holds up a sign and says, come and put your hand in Thurman's hand and I'll heal you. Touch him right there. And I guarantee you, I'll heal you. If Jesus Christ was standing right here, which he really is, and you were to hold up your hand and somebody come up and he says, you touch them right there in the palm of their hand, and I guarantee you, if you touch them in the palm of their hand, I will heal that person. How many of you could have faith to believe that you'd be healed? I'd hope everybody. I mean, if God said something, you can take his word to the bank, can you not? But you know that scripture has been in the Bible for thousands of years? And we got people dying in the Baptist churches, the Catholic churches, the Pentecostal churches. We got people dying everywhere because they will not believe what that says. I mean, we got a promise. Did he say, how many is any sick among you? Is that what he said? Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders. Did we have elders?
Yes.
Did we prove right here in this church just a couple of weeks ago that we had some elders that could pray for you and get results?
Yes,
yes we did, because every one of those men come by and laid hands on that man right there, and God healed him that day.
Yes.
Guarantee Bill's cancer is gone. He's healed. He's even got a diagnosis, a report from the doctor. It ain't there no more, but we did it God's way. I mean, he yielded to the Holy Ghost. We prayed the prayer of faith for him, and God healed his cancer, and it's done. But the scripture says, is any sick among you? Does that include Bill?
Yes.
You or me or anybody else? Let him call for the elders. Well, I asked at least five elders to stand up and to pray and ask Bill to come right up here and stand right here and ask any, I want at least five. And I said, if any of the rest of you guys believe you're the righteousness of God in Christ, come up here and pray over him. And I think every man in this church, come forward.
Right.
Every one of them prayed. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
We did it God's way.
Man.
Now then, I want you to read just a little bit further after verse 16. Read verse 16 through 20.
Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Keep reading.
Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins.
Okay. Stop and think about what that just said. You see, a brother like this girl a while ago, man, Cheryl, heard her lying. Does God say he hates lying?
Yes.
Then why in the world do people lie? Same reason this girl did, because she didn't know how serious lying is. So whenever she lied, it had all kinds of problems with her hands, it had an itch in her palms of her hands, all kinds of issues that we read about, and she couldn't get healed until we told her that she had to repent of that lying and stop doing it and walk in love. Does God say walk in love?
Yes.
Yes, that's the only commandment he gives you, walk in love. So when we tell them to do that, I never heard of that in the Bible. My lands. Love the Lord our God with all your heart, mind, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's all over the place. Isn't that amazing how we don't know what to do? But it says, you see a brother lying, what do? You go to him and tell him. Somebody says, that's not my job. Yes, it is. It's your job as a Christian to straighten up the other Christians. You see somebody that's not doing what they're supposed to be doing, you go tell them. God hates lying, and I know you're lying to that man, so quit lying, because it's going to bring some kind of unhealthy situation on you if you keep lying. And it will. I guarantee it will. You will not like it. And then he says there very clearly, when you go tell the brother, if you win them over and they change, you have saved a brother from death. Because if they keep lying and keep doing what they're not supposed to do, that sin is going to bring forth death. Is that what it said?
Yes.
Are you ready to die?
No.
Then I suggest we straighten our act up and do what he says, don't you?
Right.
If we obey God and do what he says, can he can't bless you enough. Now, in other words, I'm going to go back in Deuteronomy 28, and I want the first 14 verses, and I want Cheryl to read the blessings that will come upon you and your children if you obey God and do what he says. Now, this is Old and New Testament, Old and New under the law. It doesn't make any difference what. If you're obeying God and doing what he says, this is what he's going to bless you with, even beyond this into the new covenant. He's going to bless you beyond your wildest dreams. But I want you to read Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14.
And it shall come to pass, thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep.
Hold on just a second. I got to throw in something here. When he says, blessed shall be your children, don't you love it when your children are blessed from God? They're so intelligent and so smart, and you pray under the new covenant and say, Lord, bless my children. Give them supernatural strength and beauty and just whatever you want. Anything you can think of that's good. You make them supernatural. I always was the kind of guy that when, you know, I still do it, and you all will laugh at me. But as most of you know, years ago I lost my wife and my daughter in a car accident. And it totally changes your life, the way things happen. But my son, it only left me one living son, my son Timothy. And it still blesses me when I get to tell the story. He has a gym that he trains people how to take care of their physical bodies. To tell you how good a job he's doing, a few weeks ago, or maybe a few months now, in May, he had his 42nd birthday. He's 42 years old. That day, after his birthday, Tim got out there on the road and ran 42 miles. 42 miles in 9.5 hours. And I'm telling you, I can say I'm proud of that boy.
Amen.
I bet you there ain't no three of us in this room can run that 9 miles or that 42 miles. But he ran it by himself. Does that mean he's been taking care of his body? He definitely hadn't been putting no drugs in him, that's for sure. He definitely has not been drinking. You don't run 42 miles in a day in 9.5 hours unless you're in some kind of shape. I told him it's a good thing I didn't go with him because I'd have showed him up. Oh, I could laugh about those things. We all know that Papa T can't run 42 miles. There ain't no way. I couldn't even begin to run 42 miles. In fact, I will have to say, the other day when I was trying to recover from that surgery, Cheryl and I walked down to the road and back. We walked to the mailbox, which is about a half a mile, and we got back to that tree down here on the road. And I told her, I said, let's stop and rest a minute. We had walked not even a half a mile. And she said, well, what if we run? I said, well, all I got to say, if you run, you're going to run by yourself. because I knew what my limitations was. I knew there was no way I could run from that tree down here, that tank, to this house. I was not in that good a shape. I probably couldn't do it even yet. I'm getting stronger every day, but I'm still not where I need to be. But I do need to go out and do some exercise, and Cheryl constantly reminds me of that. We need to go out and run a little. We need to go exercise a little. Yeah, so praise the Lord. But isn't it amazing? But that scripture that we've got there in James 5, 14, 15, and 16. That scripture, I want Cheryl to read that scripture one more time, and I want you to think about what you have under the new covenant, under Jesus Christ, his teaching. If you believe his word and you ever have a sickness or a disease, you can call on the Lord with this scripture by faith, and he will heal you. In fact, we did it for Bill. We didn't even use the oil, but we could have, couldn't we, Bill? But we didn't. But we didn't need it. All we needed was all of you men that knew who you were in Christ when you laid your hands on him. But just think, this scripture is in the new covenant and is here for every one of us. Now read James 5, 14, 15, 16.
Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Okay. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Okay. If you have that verse, do you need another doctor?
No.
No. That's where that really separates the men from the boys. People have a hard time believing that God can heal them without a doctor. I made it 42 years. I made it 40 years without a doctor. But then my faith ran out and I had to have one. Lord, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, and this is what gets me. I can't see into the spirit world, but I know that the spirit clock is ticking down. I know it's ticking. When I ask for healing, it starts. One day he sets it at this many hours, this day this many hours, but it's still the clock is ticking. If I can hang on till it gets to the fully healed section, I'm going to get healed by God. If I can't hang on, I'm going to a doctor. That's what I finally had to do the other day, is go to a doctor. Now, if I'd have stayed with God and held my ground, somewhere along the line, there was a place that I would have hit, and my healing would have been fulfilled and complete. I just couldn't make it in the flesh to that point. But God was trying to strengthen me. He put me to the test. 18 hours and then 8 hours. But I didn't make it. But he'll give me another chance. One day he'll give me another chance. Ain't that something? Lord, I thank you for this day, and I worship you for the privilege of being able to love you and worship you and to just know you. You're so awesome, and I'm so grateful that I have the privilege to know you, to love you, to serve you. And I thank you for my children, my grandchildren. May you bless us and continue to bless us. And we give you praise and glory and honor and thanksgiving for all these things that you do for us. And we're so grateful. We worship you joyfully and for the abundance of all things that you've given us. They're ours. And Lord, we know why we have the good things. We know that you have blessed us with everything. Everything we have, I thank you for it. And may I use it for your glory. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen.